Welcome to the Jewish Sacred Aging Podcast. This is episode 6 in our podcast series. In this program, Rabbi Adras has a conversation with Rabbi Douglas Cohen, the fifth rabbi of Congregation Emmanuel in Redlands, California. Rabbi Cohen, after his diagnosis and treatment for cancer in 2004 and 2005, edited a book on Judaism and cancer, published in 2008 by the URJ Press. Titled Life, Faith, and Cancer, Jewish Journeys Through Diagnosis, Treatment, and Recovery, the book includes the stories and teachings of Rabbi Cohen and 18 other Jewish religious leaders who also have or have had cancer. Rabbi Cohen is also the author of a new volume on Judaism and Alzheimer's disease entitled Broken Fragments, Jewish Experiences of Alzheimer's Disease Through Diagnosis, Adaptation, and Moving On. And now for the conversation, here's Rabbi Adras.
We're here with Rabbi Douglas Cohen of Temple Emmanuel in Redlands, California. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Doug's two books, Life, Faith, and Cancer, and his latest book, Broken Fragments, which talks a little bit about the Jewish approaches and responses to Alzheimer's and dementia. So welcome, Doug. And could you just walk me through, especially this book, Life, Faith, and Cancer, which is part of your own story? What was the motivating factor around your writing this book?
Thank you, Richie. Life, Faith, and Cancer came out in 2008. It was stimulated by my own diagnosis with cancer and by my seeking Jewish resources to help me interpret and understand not only my experience, but more importantly, how to relay this to congregants, to other Jewish people, how we look or experience the cancer world as Jews. And looking for resources, the book includes not only my story and texts, but stories of 18 other Jewish leaders and their use of text to parlay and to relay this Jewish experience of cancer.
So for people who are living this life, who are dealing with cancer right now, and equally as important for the families, the caregivers who are helping them, shepherding them through this journey, where can they turn to for Jewish responses? How does Judaism as a religious civilization reach out and support these people?
I think that our value system is very keen and supportive of the caregiving experience. Getting back to Abraham's circumcision and God's self being the one who took care of Abraham then in Genesis, the very idea of caring for one another, from Moses being not only a lawgiver, but our shepherd. So the book includes Jewish texts that each chapter uses to teach the values. I think we have to look inside ourselves and we'll find that we are our own support systems. Our communities live and organize themselves as caregivers, from the extended family to the congregational family. And so what I needed to do with the book was really to articulate that inherent Jewish commitment to caring, to our own well-being, and to our being involved and engaged with the next person. So it was there. It just needed expression.
So you have spoken around the country a lot on the book, telling your story. What's been the reaction from people in congregations who you have spoken with, have come up with you after your presentation? What's been the mood of those reactions?
It's been twofold, Richie. One, people like to tell me their story. And I like to say the book gives a voice. The book allows people who have been quiet, who've felt like they were all alone, to now have a partner in the book and in the contributors. So the book, again, triggers conversation. So often after a service like we had last night here at Makor Shalom, people come up and tell me their cancer story. It's as if it's the first time they're talking to a rabbi, although I know they're talking to you here and everywhere else. That's uniform. Wherever I am, people want to tell their story. The second idea is that people realize that we do have a Jewish response, that cancer doesn't have to be only with their family or with their caregivers or with their medical professionals, but this can be part of the Jewish experience. And I think that allows them to be integrated in the synagogue. It's not that they have to compartmentalize and say, synagogue is where they come when they're well and they can volunteer at the Sisjud Hanukkah Bazaar, but it's also where they can be sick and they can come to services and people will accept them too. So I get those two different messages. One, here's my story, and two, it's good that this is part of my organic life.
Life, Faith, and Cancer is published by the URJ Press, Union for Reform Judaism Press, available, I would imagine, also electronically on and through Amazon.
And Barnes & Noble.
You related, when you spoke here last night, to several of the essays, the reflections that you have collected and edited in Life, Faith, and Cancer. Just what are the what's one or two of the most poignant reflections that really, I think, would capture what you're really trying to talk about this journey?
You asked about poignant. I'd also say there are some very inspirational stories. I'd say this book is more inspirational, that each chapter ends with a really meaningful nechemta, a sense of hope. Poignant, oddly enough, our colleague Rabbi Myra Seufer in Nevada, who had cancer in her cheek, in her face, and ended up with significant surgery, such that whenever she had pictures taken of her, she only showed one side of her face, not the side that was scarred from the surgery. Myra, when she wrote the book, allowed herself for the first time to be photographed on the other side for a newspaper article in the Reno newspaper. Poignant that for 20-some years, she hid that. Her story also includes that she was diagnosed with cancer right after her ordination as a rabbi and before she went to her first pulpit. And she could not speak on high holidays in her first pulpit, or her first high holidays, because she was recovering from facial surgery. She had to sit silently, which is tough for a rabbi, in the synagogue. And yet she writes a magnificently humorous and compelling chapter. So there's some poignancy. But even there, I was saying, there's more than poignancy, there's triumph. The cancer book, perhaps unlike the Alzheimer's book, allows recovery, allows remission, allows a future, not for everybody, but even in our illness and dying, we have moments. Alzheimer's, though, unlike cancer, which opens an eye, I said last night, Alzheimer's closes that eye.
So let's go to Broken Fragments, which is the latest book, also by the Union for Reform Judaism Press, and I also imagine available in the same methodology. I can understand the motivation to write Life, Faith, and Cancer. It's your own journey. Obviously, you do not have Alzheimer's, thank God. What's the motive? What was the motivating factor for putting this book together?
I did not discuss that last night at the synagogue, in the dinner or from the Bima. I was working on another book, which I've put on the sideline again, and that's a book addressing a question which is important in me, in my thinking, and that is from the text from Pirkei Avot, "Uvemakom she'ein anashim, hishtadel lehiyot ish." In a place where there's no humanity, strive to be human.
My favorite text.
My favorite text, too.
My favorite text.
And I realized that book, that text has not been studied. There's no book about that text. So I've been collecting material and preparing a book on that text for several years. And then in 2009, a colleague of ours who wrote for both of these books called me and said that his mother was dying of Alzheimer's and we needed a book like the cancer book to address Alzheimer's from the Jewish prism. Would I be willing to put it together? And I was stunned. I realized I was working on this other volume asking what does it mean to be a human being? And that dovetailed with the question of Alzheimer's. What happens when the mind, the memory, atrophies? What happens to the human being? And I pondered it, and I realized that with my grandfather dying of Alzheimer's and my then father-in-law from here in Philadelphia dying of Alzheimer's, they both had died, that I had enough personal experience. So I sat down and wrote a proposal, which was accepted, and spent 3 years working on and developing this book because, again, there was a lacuna, a total gap in the Jewish literature, just like with cancer, on dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia from the Jewish perspective. And our unique perspective that we're people of memory makes this even more vital. We're taught at Shabbat, when we raise the Kiddush cup, to remember creation and to remember getting out of Egypt. The two commandments of the Kiddush and Shabbat are not to drink wine and not to make Shabbat, but to remember. What happens when memory fails the Jew? I say in the book that memory is the currency of the Jew. So what happens when we don't have that currency in our pocket anymore?
So in the cancer book, there's this motif of hope, as you alluded to. Is there no sense of hope, or is it a different type of hope that you talk about in Broken Fragments?
Well, Richie, I've got to give you credit for this. The two books are modeled, let me put it this way. The second book is modeled on the first book. The cancer book has three divisions. The first third of the book is subtitled Diagnosis. The middle third is Treatment. And the third third is Recovery. In the Alzheimer's book, we wanted the same structure, make a series for the URJ Press. So in the Alzheimer's book, the first third is Diagnosis. The second third, instead of Treatment, which is lacking in Alzheimer's, we call Adaptation. The third third, you named in a discussion we had 3 years ago, I said, we can't call it Recovery. What are we going to call it? And you called it, you came up with the term, Moving On. And I took it. And I was waiting to find a better title for that third section. Never found another title that was better than that. So you're the owner of that third part.
I didn't know that. Okay.
You don't remember it, but I never forgot it. So you're right. Hope is absent in Alzheimer's the way it is in cancer. But life and soul are not absent. Life and soul are that currency as we see the soul diminishing. And then we have to find a way to still respect and understand the individual with Alzheimer's. So hope may be the leitmotif in the cancer book, but life and living, despite it all, is the message in the Alzheimer's book.
So let me ask you a particularly practical question before we conclude. How would you, as the author, the editor, the collector, and experiencer as much of on these two books, how would you suggest a colleague, a congregation, the educator, the rabbi, the cantor, use these books within a congregational setting?
I think that the Alzheimer's book is used differently. The Alzheimer's book is used more one-on-one to give to family members, caregivers of those with Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's still, despite our best efforts, is an individual, almost stigmatized experience. It's very hard for the person with Alzheimer's to be schlepped to synagogue, although we do write about Gunther Plaut going to synagogue in the book. There are moments when it's very uncomfortable, disorienting, embarrassing, and the caregivers become troubled by that. They need to have something to empower them and to let them know they're not alone. So I think the book, the Alzheimer's book right now, is a one-on-one. The cancer book, like we discussed last night here with your wonderful group in the synagogue, has ideas, has activities, has opportunities for people to be able to, as communities, to engage, to serve, to create programs. We don't yet have that congregationally in the Alzheimer's world, although we do write in the Alzheimer's book about a brilliant program in the JCC in Los Angeles where they have a daycare for people with Alzheimer's, and they bring children from a homeschooled program to the JCC, and the kids and the seniors do art projects together, or they go to the art museum together, or they sing or they dance together. And it's brilliant because these children, these little kids, are not judgmental, and the seniors can actually convey some wisdom, and a lot of menschlichkeit to the children. So, but that requires a very unique set of circumstances and talent. How do we deal with Alzheimer's in a congregational setting? I'm still searching for the answer to that. I think that it's more in terms of being support for the caregiver than for the system.
Right. So, Rabbi Doug Cohen, thank you very much. The two books again, Broken Fragments, just published by URJ Press, subtitled Jewish Experiences of Alzheimer's Disease Through Diagnosis, Adaptation, and Moving On. And your first book, Life, Faith, and Cancer, Jewish Journeys Through Diagnosis, Treatment, and Recovery, both available through the Union for Reform Judaism Press, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. Thank you very much. Haslacha, travel safe, and again, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Richie.
We hope you enjoyed this program from JewishSacredAging.com. If you have comments or suggestions about these programs, please write to us at info@JewishSacredAging.com. We produce this program in the studios of Lubetkin Global Communications in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, on the web at lubetkin.net. For Rabbi Address and everyone at JewishSacredAging.com, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for joining us, and take good care.